Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Joining us on the program is Tim Bradley, the Desert Storm. He'll be there for ESPN, calling Lomachenko's comeback fight versus Masayoshi Nakatani. He wants Teofimo Lopez next. What does he have left in the tank? We'll hear from Tim Bradley. Also, Tim Bradley's thoughts on Tank Davis, who fights Mario Barrios over on Showtime pay-per-view. Also his thoughts on Manny Pacquiao, with what he's still got left in the tank, and Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. Boxing world is buzzing. I say that every single week. This week, I mean it, because there are some big fights on the horizon. We're getting into this PBC dominant summer with some really, really good fights this weekend. Top Rank and PBC, a takeover with dueling cards. But with that, let's get into our interview. Here he is, the Desert Storm, Tim Bradley. All right, time to bring in our guest this week on Inside Boxing Live. One of my favorite recurring guests here on the show because he brings it every single time. Tim Bradley, the Desert Storm, former two-division world champion, current ESPN broadcaster, and tortilla-wrapped hot dog enthusiast. remember last time we had you on in the summer, that's the world we were in. We were talking about wrapped hot dogs and bubble fights, but the fights are getting bigger, the fights are getting better. This weekend, Vasily Lomachenko is back. He's taking on Masayoshi Nakatani, which is no walk in the park. You'll be on the call for ESPN. I want to ask you, Tim, a lot of conversation about Lomachenko, 33 years old. Obviously, the long amateur career, the loss to Teofimo Lopez. How much does Loma have left in the tank, in your opinion?
You know, I think mentally Loma has everything it takes to reign and become a world champion and to fulfill this dream, which is become the undisputed at 135 pounds. The thing is will his body hold up? Like you said, 400 amateur fights, you know, he keeps getting injured each time out. He's getting injured in training. It's been really hard for him to stay completely healthy. He said he went into the Lopez fight with the injury, a shoulder injury, which he had surgery on, just recently. So I think that all boils down to his physical well-being. You know, I think this is what it boils down to. I think mentally he's super strong. I mean, this is what, the third fight that he's ever lost in his whole career. And I have to say, in knowing that his first loss in amateurs, he came back and avenged that loss by beating the guy twice. The second loss, he comes back and he loses to Salido, but then he comes back and he wins a world championship. And he beats a guy like Gary Russell Jr., which is unreal, a fantastic champion right now, still today. Yep. And, you know, now he suffered a loss to Lopez. So what's been happening is he's been trending this way mentally. He's been winning these fights. He comes back, you know, 10 times stronger than before when he loses a fight. I expect the same thing as long as he's healthy. You know, us fighters, we'll lie. We lie, man. We'll tell you how we felt it was the best camp ever, and it can be the worst camp ever, and we still won't tell you it was the best camp ever, just kind of psyching ourselves out, getting prepared for the match, you know, and just telling you what you want to hear. So will we ever know if Lomachenko is 100%? I don't know, but I think in this particular fight, 90%, if he's 90%, he's okay.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you bring up the last fight. That was 8 months ago, so that's enough time to – you know, recover from the shoulder injury. And you also bring up a good point in the fact that he wants to avenge that loss to Teofimo. He made it very clear. Yeah. He wants to get Teofimo again in the ring. And that could potentially happen now with this new deal with Teofimo, the amended deal. He's going to have a pay-per-view fight. There aren't many options inside of realistic options for Teofimo that garner a pay-per-view attraction other than a Lomachenko rematch. I would be I'd like to see that fight between Loma and Teofimo again. But it comes down to Lomachenko. He took this fight with Nakatani because he said it himself, because Teofimo fought him, and Nakatani gave Teofimo issues. He wants to go in there and perform better than Teofimo did to make even more of a case to get that rematch.
Yeah, I think it's more or less he just wants to show the fans and prove to himself that he's a better fighter. than Teofimo Lopez. And I have to say, and I'm not making any excuses, I know that Lomachenko said that, you know, his shoulder was injured, and he, you know, and I saw the Reloaded show for that TR ran on YouTube. Fantastic show, by the way. Great job, TR, with the promotion. But, you know, I have to say, you know, I mean, hey, everybody that gets in that ring, trust me, fighters, I've been in the ring with injuries. I've been in the ring going into a big fight with bruised ribs, hurt ankles, elbows, you name it, man. So it's an inevitable thing, man, when you're fighting, because all of the hard training you go through, the sparring and stuff, and, you know, we take our lumps and bruises and go into these fights. So, you know, he can make whatever excuse it is. I think Tao fought the perfect fight, and he beat him hands down. The first half of the fight, Lomachenko didn't do much, but the back half, yeah, it seemed like his shoulder was fine to me. So, you know, I think this fight, he wants to show, just all in all, that he's a better fighter than Lopez. Lopez, at that time, when he had fought Nakatani, you got to understand, he was going through a lot of things, too, personally. Mm-hmm. His weight, from his father, his team, it was a lot of stuff that was going on personally. He got into the ring without the right mindset,
right?
And it showed.
He still won, but he was going through a lot.
But it showed. Now, Loma wants to come back, and he wants to say, and we as fans, we're going to say, well, if Loma destroys this guy, we're going to say, well, Tao couldn't destroy this guy. Loma was able to destroy this guy, you know. And, you know, we're going to have, it's going to be the talk of who's better than who, right, you know, and it's going to bring attention towards a rematch. So it's just a plan that I believe that Loma's trying to execute. And if he can do so by stopping a guy like Nakatani, who's a tough guy, then, you know, I think it'll favor him in a rematch. I think it'll help him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the thing with Lomachenko is obviously those first seven rounds, he did nothing. I think he threw like 11 punches around, but then rounds 8 on up until the 12th round, Loma was getting the best of Teofimo. He was outworking him. He was outlanding him. But I think fans are going to remember that 12th round. And Teofimo just dominated that 12th and final.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. Landed 50 punches in that 12th round. Really, you know, I think erased all doubt. Teofimo was the winner of that fight because of that 12th round. Yeah. That's the intrigue of it. That's the intrigue of this fight with Lomachenko, is he's an aging superstar. He can easily get right back into the middle of it. You know, fights with Teofimo Lopez moving down to 130. I want to ask you this. I think a move down to 130, there's some big fights he can make right within Top Rank. You know, fights with Shakur Stevenson, fights with Valdez, fights with Herring. However that, you know, trifecta plays out. But I feel like him moving down to 130, him, the reluctance there is almost like a pride thing. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. That, and I think that's what he would say too. It's more of a pride thing. He campaigned at 135. He had all the straps. He just was missing one, and he came up short against Lopez. So, you know, that goal is still on his mind. He's not thinking about anybody at 130 pounds. He wants to become the man at 135. He set out with that goal. And, you know, fighters like Lomachenko, man, guys that think like him, if, you know, you come up short, you got to accomplish that goal no matter what. And he's going to try to go after it once again. If it's Lopez, it's Lopez. If Lopez goes up to 140 and let goes all the belts, then he'll have an opportunity to fight for the undisputed at 135 once again. It's been his dream. I don't think he's going to stop until he accomplishes his dream.
No, honestly, you have to respect it. I have a lot of respect for Lomachenko. He said some things about our company. You know, he didn't agree with the punch stats. I didn't take it personally. I still have a lot of respect for the guy. Him getting back in there with Nakatani and his, you know, not going down to 130, you know, that you have to respect that from Lomachenko. Yeah. The guy's still a pound for pound great in the sport, and one loss doesn't mean that you're just written off. So I'm excited to see him in the ring.
Well, he got two losses. He got two losses, three losses in his entire career. I think this Nakatani fight is going to show people why Lomachenko was considered the Matrix. Honestly, I think Nakatani is the perfect guy. I know there's a huge size discrepancy, it's in reach discrepancy as well, in favor of Nakatani, but I think that the skill set of Lomachenko, I think that's what we're going to see come to the forefront. Just his movement, his side-to-side movement, his in-and-out movement, the way he attacks, the way he sets up his opposition, the guard manipulation, touching guys here, and then landing a big boom. He's going to have a lot of opportunities to do that against a guy that likes to come forward, a guy that's heavy on the front foot, on the front foot, and a guy that just likes to attack. And I just think that his movement alone is going to be difficult for Nakatani to really figure it out. And Nakatani is not the best guy defensively either.
He could be hit. It's close to 40%. He's getting hit with 40% of his power shots.
See, and that's the thing. But he does, in his favor, he does possess a right hand. And he knows how to land it. You know, he has a really good, nice little stick that where he sets up his right hand and he lets that thing go. And, you know, if it lands, it does damage.
Intriguing fight. It's the sixth straight opponent for Lomachenko where he's given up a height and a reach advantage. So it's, you know, fighting taller fighters is something that Lomachenko is accustomed to, especially because he's always fighting up in weight class. He is not really a 135 pounder. Let's head over to the other big fight this weekend over on Showtime pay-per-view. Gervonta Davis is going up to 140 to fight Mario Barrios. Now, this is an intriguing fight for a number of reasons. Got to ask you, Tim, do you think Tank Davis, do you think he's making a mistake going up to 140? Or is Mario Barrios like a tailor-made opponent for him?
No, I don't think he's. I think Mario Barrios is a really good fighter. You know, he's some sort of one of the 16 or 17 titles that the WBA holds.
Yep. I got one. You know, I think I have a title at the
WBA.
Yeah,
I know. But, you know, I think he brings an interesting style into the ring that we haven't seen Gervonta Davis up against. He's a pretty good boxer from the outside, very snappy with his jab, good counterpuncher, got some good power. You know, he can dig down to the body well. I think Gervonta Davis is definitely going to have to answer some questions coming from Mario Barrios. But I just think the power alone of Gervonta Davis, I don't think people understand, man. Gervonta is very patient. He's poised. He's a guy that will slowly break you down. You're never safe in the ring against a guy with that much punching power. And when he strikes like a cobra, man. And it's hard. It's fast. Some of his stuff is very unpredictable. He'll line up his shots very well. I think where Barrios is weak is in the inside. Gervonta Davis is going to slowly break him down to the body. And, you know, look for that uppercut, that big uppercut that Gervonta Davis sets everybody up with. As he did against what was the man he fought last time? Santa Cruz, the same similar.
Well, Santa Cruz threw three right hands, Tim. Santa Cruz, I broke that sequence down. Santa Cruz threw the same punch three times. You cannot do that with a counterpuncher like Gervonta Davis.
No, you can't go to the well all too often like that. Three times in a row throwing the same punch. I mean, I understand double right hand, but three right hands in a row eventually going to get set up. And Gervonta Davis saw it and pinpointed that uppercut, man. It was one of the nastiest uppercuts, I believe, last year that we've seen in a very long time. So I see the same situation happening in this fight. I got a lot of respect for Barrios and his team. Great boxer, but Gervonta Davis is just on another level. There's levels to this game. There's punching power to this game. There's, you know, the one thing that I know about Gervonta Davis is that he knows how to hide inside the ring, but he also knows how to hunt at the same time. He's patient and super precise with his offense, and he's getting better defensively too. Yeah. I could tell that he's been working with Floyd Mayweather because, you know, when you have defense, what that does is it can drain your opponent's energy, you know, because he's constantly missing. He's constantly missing shots. And then you're also moving your head and you're rotating your shoulders. So you hide a lot of your offense as well if you're the offensive guy coming forward. So he'll have a lot of opportunities to land some big, big shots against Barrios. And I see a stoppage probably like 8 or 9.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Davis, he's such a polarizing figure. A lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. He's going up to 140. He's not getting a lot of the credit because he skipped over some of the guys at 135. You know, this whole argument about whether if he wins, is he now a three division world champion because Barrios is a secondary titleist? Who cares? Who cares? It is a good fight on paper. It is a good test for Gervonta Davis. And going back to Barrios here, he had trouble with Akhmedov. The fight two fights ago, and take a look at Akhmedov. He's the same height, he's the same reach, and he is a southpaw, just like Davis. Yep. Obviously, Davis is a much better fighter, but if Akhmedov was able to give Barrios issues, same height, same size, same reach, same you know, southpaw stance. Just imagine what Davis is gonna do in there. But if he wins, if Davis wins, go ahead.
It's gonna be a test. I mean, you know, Barrios, he did well the last time out, and he had trouble. This time he's gonna be tested, but he's gonna be tested against a lethal puncher. Yeah. So, you know, can he pass the test? Did he learn anything from that fight? We're gonna see.
I think a lot of fans are gonna appreciate it. Tim Bradley just gave a PBC fighter credit. Oh my God. Believe it or not, it's wild, right? Like everyone thinks that you just won't do that. But, you know, that's why I like you here. And that's why you're one of the coming into your own as a broadcaster, because you just call it like it is. Jonathan Davis, good fighter. Doesn't matter.
You got to respect Tank Davis. And I say this because, you know, what he's been able to do inside the ring. And there is a lot of guys that, yeah, some quote unquote, he hasn't fought yet. But just give him some time. I think those big fights will come sooner than later, because they're gonna have to. Because if Davis is gonna consider himself a top dog and he's gonna be in a top pound for pound, he's gonna have to fight the who's of each division that he's in. So great move. I mean, to move up to 140 and test the waters with a quote unquote the 16th champion for the WBC.
He's still a top 10 guy though. Anyway you cut it, Barrios. He's in the top 10.
But he is in the top 10. He is a good quality opponent. And if Davis makes it look easy, then, I mean, you can't argue with that. Right. Man, this is a guy, he's longer, he's taller, he's ranger. He's been campaigning at this weight his whole entire career. You got to give respect to Davis.
All right, let's quickly get through some other big fights this summer. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, heavyweight trilogy, the press conference. Deontay Wilder not speaking. What do you make of that? Do you think it was a big deal? Do you think that shows kind of where his mental state is at? What do you think of Wilder not speaking at the presser?
I've been there before. I was there after the fight with Manny Pacquiao. It was the second rematch. I remember going into the press conference because I didn't want to hear the noise. I just wanted to just completely focus and just tune out the world because I was angry with the world. I was angry with what happened the first time around. And I was basically running from that, you know, and that was probably the worst thing that I possibly can do, you know, instead of just, you know, listening to everything and taking it all in and kind of processing it and kind of using that as fuel. I went the opposite way, the same way that I see Wilder's going, the opposite way, thinking that he's trying to be focused, but really, in all honesty, he's worried. He's truly worried. He's worried about what's going to happen. He's worried about what Fury's going to be saying. He doesn't want to buy into it, but sooner or later, those head muffs, those headphones will have to come off, and he's going to have to face the noise, and he's going to have to face the talking, and he has to get in there, and Fury understands what Fury needs to do. He already has the blueprint in beating Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder can do all the training he possibly can. He can change his style or try to change his style, but, you know, like I said, as soon as you get hit in that ring, you know, all that stuff goes out the window. It really does. And Fury knows that he needs to bag him up. He's going to step to Wilder. And then that's when all the questions have to be answered from Deontay Wilder. So I'm not, but just put it this way. Deontay Wilder will be a tad bit different, but as soon as he gets hit, you're going to see the old Deontay Wilder.
Yeah. He's 35 years old. I mean, he's been a pro for over 10 years. How much could you possibly change at this point? But he's got that big equalizer. I'm looking forward to the fight. I think that him not speaking from a business standpoint, like, who knows what's going on in his head, but it created even more buzz rather than him going out there and regurgitating the, you know, the cheating stuff or the accusations. He just didn't speak. Everyone started writing about how he didn't speak. They're still talking about him. It's a third fight. Well, you're either going to buy it or you're not going to buy it.
The biggest thing is you have to accept your defeats. You have to be able to be man enough and accept your defeats. Deontay Wilder has blamed everybody but himself. You know, he hasn't came out and said, you know what, that last fight was because of me. You got to understand, a fighter, you get in that ring, man, it's just you and the other fighter and the referee. It's no one on the outside. It's just you, the other fighter, and the referee. Now, the people on the outside are there to protect you just in case something happened. And that's exactly what happened. They were protecting him. And he took it the wrong way. fired a couple of guys, got a new trainer. Hey, I understand that. It's okay. I understand that a fighter's mentals have to be right. If he doesn't trust the fight, if he doesn't trust the trainer, you got to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's not never going to work. I understand that. That's his prerogative. But I just feel that he needs to just own up for take responsibility. And if he can do that, then he has a damn good chance. I understand he got that equalizer, but he'll have a better chance if he just own up and just say, you know what? That was my fault. All good. I'm moving on. I'm highlighting myself. Don't think about Fury. If he can get be the best that Wilder can be, then he has a real damn good chance in upsetting Tyson Fury.
Before we say goodbye, Errol Spence, Manny Pacquiao. How does that play out? How does that play out, Tim?
You know, it all depends on what Pacquiao has left. I've said this on record. Tom Brady of boxing. Honestly, Manny Pacquiao, 8 divisions, 42 years old. He was a champion about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. He beat a guy that I didn't think he was going to be able to beat, and that was Keith one-time Thurman, who is a big guy, who's a good puncher, who is a guy that can box, can use his legs, guys that can throw combinations. A guy that can do, he's a very smart fighter in Keith Thurman. And he was able to get, you know, to beat him. So I think it just boils down to what Pacquiao has left. I think it's going to be a great fight. I think stylistically, two southpaws. I haven't seen Manny Pacquiao in the ring against another guy. That's another southpaw on the other side since David Diaz.
Yeah, that was like, David, I think that was that after was, or before De La Hoya. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a very long time. And I was a smaller guy. This is a taller guy. But also, I know Manny Pacquiao hasn't lost to anybody above the height of 5'10". He's never lost to anybody above the height of 5'10". He's always beat all these guys.
Yeah, Margarito.
Margarita, all those guys. He's beaten them. So Errol Spence, a little bit slower on the trigger. Manny Pacquiao understands that. Manny Pacquiao knows that you had a guy like Sean Porter that was able to back him up. So I look for Manny Pacquiao to try to bag up Errol Spence and make him fight and trade with him. Because Sean Porter had a lot of success not allowing Errol Spence to think and just be who Errol Spence is on the outside, controlling distance and always doing what he wants to do, controlling the tempo. So Manny Pacquiao is going to come out extremely fast. He may fade midpoint, but he's going to pick it up on the back end. I believe Spence has enough on the back end to be able to compete with him. And I think I give Spence a slight edge. A slight edge. This fight goes the distance. Not going to be by knockout. It's going to go to distance. Spence has a really good chin. But I think Spence may eke it out by 1 or 2 points in the end.
I like that.
And win a decision.
I think all the pressure's on Spence. You know, he's fighting a 42-year-old guy. He's got to go in there and take him out. Never been in a fight this big. Pacquiao's been there. Ideally, I'd like to see a good close fight. I'd like to see a passing of the torch for boxing's sake. I don't want to see Manny get hurt. Don't want to see him get taken out. Ideally, it's like a movie. Pacquiao hurts Spence a few times. Spence wins. Pacquiao gets carried off. Everyone wins. Boxing wins. Great fight. It's a great summer, man. This summer's heating up. You'll be on the call this weekend in Las Vegas. Top Rank's doing great things week in, week out. Boxing thrives when all these promotions are putting on really good fights. I think it's been a great summer. It's going to continue into the fall. Tim Bradley, one of my favorite guests here at Inside Boxing Live.
Appreciate you.
I'll catch up with you soon, man.
Hey, appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate you, all right? Thank you.